This is the Feast of All Saints. The epistle for this Mass is taken from the book of the Apocalypse. In those days, behold, I, John, saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun and having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels who had it in their power to harm the earth and the sea, saying, Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 sealed out of every tribe of the children of Israel, of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 sealed, of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000, of the tribe of Gad, 12,000, of the tribe of Aser, 12,000, of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000, of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000, of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000, of the tribe of Levi, 12,000, of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000, of the tribe of Zabulon, 12,000, of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000, of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 sealed. After this, I saw a great multitude, which no man could number, out of all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and with palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation belongs to our God, who sits upon the throne, and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing round about the throne, and the elders, and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength to our God forever and ever. Amen. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. At that time, Jesus, seeing the crowds, went up the mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. And opening his mouth, he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the earth. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for justice, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men reproach you and persecute you, and speaking falsely, say all manner of evil against you for my sake. Rejoice and exult, because your reward is great in heaven. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. This is one of the great feasts of the liturgical year, and it comes, as we learned over the weekend for the Feast of Christ the King, it comes towards the end of the liturgical year as the culmination of this whole season of Pentecost, the time of becoming holy. Christ the King, and also these three great days, Christ the King, the Feast of All Saints, and then the commemoration of all the souls, uniting together all of these parts of the mystical body, the church militant, today the church triumphant, tomorrow the church suffering. And this is an ancient feast. It actually commemorates the consecration See the great power of God. As St. Augustine tells us, it is a sign of God's infinite power that he can create out of nothing. Only God can do that. But St. Augustine says, what is greater, what shows the divine power even more, is when he takes something that is negative, not just taking out of nothing, but taking the negative and making it great. And this is a day like that. Because, of course, all the saints start as enemies of God because of original sin. And God makes them saints. But we think now of the origin of this day, which in a physical, tangible way is showing that same thing. Because today is the consecration of the Church of St. Mary of the Martyrs, the Blessed Virgin Mary, under her title as Queen of the Martyrs. Why? Because the Church took this pagan temple called the Pantheon, which still exists in Rome, many features of it showing the great ability of these Roman people to build things. We won't go into that. So it has this great dome, this Roman dome, and it has an opening in the center so they could offer their sacrifices, and the smoke from it would go up through this opening, this oculus, this eye, into the sky for the gods. And they had niches in all of the parts of the building for all their gods, Pantheon. All of the gods. This was their temple for everyone. They didn't want to neglect any god that might come back against them. And here the Church, showing that great power, taking something negative, taking a temple to Satan and consecrating it to God under the title of His Blessed Mother as Queen of the Martyrs. And then the Pope, to commemorate this, went to the catacombs and brought all of the relics of the martyrs he could get. And they had carts and a great procession bringing all these things from the catacombs to this church to consecrate it to God under the title of Our Lady of the Martyrs. What a great image of what this day is. And we have to appreciate the significance. We're thinking of some great things like the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We're thinking of His most precious blood. We're thinking of the Blessed Virgin Mary when everything changed at the Annunciation. We're thinking of some great angels and saints. We're thinking of St. Michael the Archangel. We're thinking of St. Joseph under the title of the Worker. We're thinking of St. John the Baptist. We're thinking of such significant liturgical days as Ash Wednesday or the Sacred Triduum, when we commemorate the institution of the Mass, the Holy Eucharist, the priesthood on Holy Thursday, or Good Friday, the day our Lord died for our sins. None of those days, as great as they are, none of those days is a holy day of obligation. Today is. Holy Mother of the Church wants to impress upon us the fact that she is holy. She has a divine founder, who is holiness himself, that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Church wants to remind us that he has given to his Church all of the means necessary to get us to heaven. He has given us sacred teachings, holy doctrines about himself and his mother and the saints and the teachings of how we can get to heaven. He has given us the means of doing it with the sacraments. He has given us helps like the sacramentals. And today tells us and guarantees for us, and that's why it's a holy day of obligation, as Holy Mother Church wants, to tell us it is not in vain that we struggle. The goal is clear. The goal is absolute. There is nothing that can stand in the way. What will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord? And St. Paul goes on to the Romans to list all of the things. Will this do it? Will persecution? Will this? Will that? Will death? Will any of these things separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord? Today tells us nothing will, except ourselves. If we grow fearful, the gradual tells us all the prayers of the Mass. Many of the texts of this Mass are talking about the martyrs because of the origin of the feast. What is the greatest danger to the martyr? It's fear. Fear of the torture, fear of the pain, fear of the suffering, fear of death. But this is the day to tell us, you need not fear. I have suffered it all for you in advance. That's what our Lord did. And this is the guarantee of it. We know other things about this great feast. We know that it commemorates all of the saints that we cannot include in the liturgical year on the calendar. All of the canonized saints. But it also includes all of the saints that have not been canonized. Some of them we may know. Some of them, in fact, we do know. Any of infants or young children before the age of reason who were baptized and unfortunately passed away, they are all in heaven. They are praying for us. Maybe having never met us in the way that they could know us, but they know us in God. And they're praying for us. They want us to get to heaven also. So we know from this aspect of the great desire of the church, Holy Ghost working through the church to tell us, do not give up hope. Never deviate from the path we have been on. And we want to take a little bit of a detailed look at this. Every Mass does this, but this is one of those more dramatic Masses in this way, where the liturgy, which we always know, it is the official prayer of the Church, the official prayer of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the only prayer that has any value before the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So every Mass is that. But this is one of those Masses where the liturgy pierces that veil between heaven and earth, and the gates open, and we are given a glimpse into heaven. We're all one today. We here on the church, in the church militant, and the church triumphant. And so the epistle is that opening, as Holy Mother of the Church lets us see the liturgy in heaven, which we are participating in. And so we have this dramatic scene of the angel coming and stopping the other angels from harming the world until everyone who is to be saved is saved. And by the way, despite as terrible as things are, we should never give up hope there, because St. Peter prophesies this in his epistle. As the people, when the flood came, which was coming to destroy them for their sins, as the flood came and only 8 souls were saved, Noah and his family, St. Peter says, the others witnessed what was happening and were converted. Little detail in St. Peter's epistle. Because when the end comes, yes, it'll be terrible, and for those who remain enemies of God, it will be even worse for them. But for many, they will finally wake up. And this is telling us that hold before the end, we must go and seal all of those who are saved. We must put on them the sign of the Son of God. What is that sign? It is the cross. We are sealed, we are signed with the cross. And you hear them saying, sign them on their foreheads. Not anywhere else. Baptize them, christen them, make them part of the saved on their foreheads. So we teach the little first graders how, in a case of emergency, to baptize on the forehead, not the way the modernists do it. Can't even get that straight. Can't help but wonder why. Why can't they get that straight? It's so simple. Then you have to look at motive. Why would you not do it right? And you can see where it goes from there. Who would be someone trying to prevent someone being saved? We're looking at the battle between us and the devil. So this glimpse into the future is telling us what's happening. They will be sealed. They will be signed. They will be saved. And it goes on to tell, it's going to be such a number. It's going to be 12 times 12,000, 144,000 of all the tribes of Israel. So of all the Jews will be converted in the end. That's one of the signs. Great thing. But against those poor benighted souls who think that the number of the saved is limited to 144,000 people, and if you know, there are some that say that. After that listing, just to make sure we heard it, after this, that is St. John the Evangelist, saw a great multitude which no man can number. It's more than 144,000 saved. And then he goes to tell us that they're from all nations, they're from everyone. No one is excluded. This is the Catholic. This is the universal church. And then he goes on to say what happens. He describes the Trinity on the throne with the Lamb, who is the Son, and surrounded by all the angels, surrounded by the elders. Those are the, and in the other sections, he tells us the 24, the 12 heads of the tribes of Israel, the 12 apostles who will sit in judgment. There's our 24. And then the four gospel writers, they will be there. And it says, all bow with their faces to the ground before the throne and before the Lamb. And it says what they're saying. Salvation belongs to our God who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb. And then they cry out, amen, so be it. This is right. This is blessing. This is power. This is glory. This is thanksgiving. Do you hear all of the purposes of prayer being expressed right here? All the saints in heaven. This is the divine liturgy. Now here, the church militant, we have to also petition. There is no mention of petition here, because they possess the beatific vision. There is no prayer here of reparation. They have already made up for all their sins. That's why they're in heaven. We here, church militant, we have two other purposes besides praise and thanksgiving. We have to petition God to be saved. We have to make up for our sins. Those are other. So, we see that great glimpse into heaven. That's where we want to be. That's what this is about. And then in the gospel, by the way, right? Isn't that hallelujah fantastic? It's our Lord's words. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will refresh you. There's the Sacred Heart. And if you're listening, if you're paying attention at all, the bulk of that music, and this is the genius of these monks who study scripture and analyze and make the music reflect the meaning. The bulk of that, besides the Alleluia, praise of God, is this concentration on the words, "You who labor." All of these notes over just the word, "You who labor." That's us. This Mass is for, this is our feast day. If you ever want to think about, what feast day would I have as a saint? What's going to be the introit? What's going to be? This is it. This is the Mass to pray over, meditate over, imitate, because this is going to be our Mass. Unless we're one of these canonized saints that the church wants to pick out and show in a special light. And we have heard, so I have to go out past now, we who labor to get to the gospel, which of course we cannot do justice to it because of the fact that we don't have the time, but we've heard something about this in the recent talks about this chapel. If you recall, Father explaining that the theme of this chapel is holiness. And he told about how the Holy Ghost in the window above the door descends upon the church, the building. All these stones representing all the members of the church, some of which have been canonized and brought out. So some stones come out from the wall to highlight some of these special saints for us to imitate. And of course here, as you pointed out, being a religious community, this chapel celebrates these religious orders. He gave all that meaning. But every stone is somebody being sanctified, one of the saints today. And the power of the Holy Ghost descending in his seven gifts, as the flames, as you already told us this, I'm just reminding you, and descending on us and coming into the works of the eight Beatitudes. You remember how he explained that? And these are the fruition of the virtues, the three theological virtues and the four cardinal virtues, and the operation of the gifts making these works happen. The virtues being the active side of sanctification, and the gifts being the passive side where the Holy Ghost takes over, the real sign of the saint. So we look for heroic virtue there. Remember all that? Well, here is the gospel, the day of holiness, the saints, the sanctifying of us. It's guaranteed if we just respond. And so Holy Mother Church shows us these words of our Lord. And listen, of course, we're not going to read the whole thing, but this is to combat, this is the other side, to combat what we face every second, sometimes by distraction here at prayer, but we fight those off with the help of our guardian angel. But as soon as you walk out the doors, and we now have gone back into the world, which we must convert, and that's the other thing, the whole grasp of the Feast of Christ the King is our Lord coming and telling everybody that this is the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is our God. A God who dies on the cross, gives everything so we can go to heaven. How can anyone possibly consider any other option? But it's because the devil keeps them in darkness. And so our Lord, when he comes, and this is from the Sermon on the Mount, these are the very opening words of the Sermon on the Mount. We say it's the constitution of the spiritual life. Our Lord is going to teach us. The devil hides us from people. We who are enlightened should not in any way deviate. And of course, it's a constant battle. That's why we have the sacrament of penance. Our Lord has foreseen that for us. But look at this. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. That means don't be rich in spirit. You see, he doesn't have to fill it in. We just have to think. Don't be rich in spirit. Don't be all puffed up. Don't be like the worldlings, always trying to assert themselves over everyone else. That's what they do. Don't be like that. That leads to the world. You don't want the world. You want heaven. Blessed are the meek. Don't go around like worldlings, constantly angry, impatient, trying to overcome, taking revenge, every slight that happens. That's not going to lead you where you want to go. Blessed are they who mourn. Blessed are they who recognize their own weaknesses, and they cry for that, and they cry for all of the sadness in the world. Don't be like the worldlings. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we will die. Don't be like that. Don't be constantly partying, levity. Don't be like that. Be sorry. Mourn. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for justice. Look at the way our Lord used these very tangible terms. Eating and drinking. And he says, don't eat and drink and worry about the food and what you're going to be drinking. He says, do that same thing for justice. What is that? That's holiness. Do those tangible things for something valuable. Union with God. Holiness is being away from the earth. Blessed are the merciful. This is one of those dangerous things. It's like the Our Father. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's a two-edged sword. Because if we don't, as we heard, we didn't have that because of Christ's King, but the gospel for the 21st Sunday of Pentecost, the servant who asks for mercy and then doesn't give it to his neighbor. Well, that's what we're asking for in the Our Father. Be merciful to me the way I forgive others. So constant war, you can see in the world we live in today, it's constant war. Some of these wars are still going on right now, longest in our country's history. Just going on, we're constantly fighting. That ties into the peacemakers too. Blessed are the clean of heart. Blessed are the clean of heart. Do not get caught up by the devil's tricks of the immodesty, the impurity. This is all to drag us down. Blessed are the clean of heart, the pure, for they shall see God. You can see the contrast. We stop there. You can see the contrast between our Lord's path and that of the devil. So, as we conclude, we want to remind everybody of the importance of this day. And there's no doubt that we each, and that's one of the things that strikes everyone, how much sorrow there is. And as much as any one of us has in our lives because of whatever reason, health, misfortune, psychological, emotional, economic, whatever problems we have, it's amazing how even in a simple conversation with someone, the person can just say what their woes are. And you immediately think, well, that's worse than mine. But still, we come today, we come and pray with the saints in heaven. We honor them. We thank God for making saints. And we thank him for helping us to be saints. So that when we come and pray, if we can receive Holy Communion at this Mass, we unite ourselves up to the King of Saints. And he will take us to heaven. And today is that foretaste of it. May God bless you.